Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Now we're going to look at a passage today that is rather very interesting and engaging. So before we get there, let me ask you a question. How would you respond if somebody called fire down from heaven today? I think I would follow that news very closely. If it happened elsewhere, I will follow the news. If it happened right here in our city, I might go and visit and see that place. Now we're going to look at Elijah the prophet and the account recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 to 39. Now, before I summarize what happened in this account, let us read James chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. It's going to come up on the screen. You can read with me. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, three insights we get about Elijah. First of all, he was an ordinary person like us. Would you tell that to your neighbor? Ordinary person like us. Okay, great. He was a man of faith, secondly. And he was a man of prayer. Now, we will share more about these insights as we unpack the account in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 16 to 39. And even as we look at the account, let me summarize that for us. The people of Israel were chosen people of God. Yet from time to time, they were unfaithful to God. King Ahab, who led the nation of Israel at this time, did not follow God's ways and made Baal worship popular. Many of the Israelites worshipped Baal when they knew they were to worship the only living God, Yahweh. Look at the spiritual condition of the people of Israel as prophet Elijah talks to them in verse 21, friends. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. That speaks about the spiritual condition of their life, you know. They had nothing to say because they were really, really confronted here. It is here on Mount Carmel that the prophet Elijah placed a challenge to King Ahab and 450 prophets of Baal. This is what Elijah told all who were gathered there on Mount Carmel. Look at verses 23 and 24. He said, "Get two bulls for us. Let Baal's prophet choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." From nothing, now they are saying something, okay? So follow with me. Now, this is where I got the title of my message, The Showdown. It's just simple, The Showdown, okay? God showed up that day and answered Elijah by fire. The sacrifice that Elijah offered was consumed by fire from heaven. And so the rest of the time that we have, I want to unpack the three insights about Elijah I mentioned to you earlier, a little while ago, okay? First of all, Elijah was an ordinary person. Okay, will you say that once again to your neighbor? Elijah was an ordinary person. Okay, great. You see, when God touches our lives, He does not expect us to become super spiritual. That's our God. That's who He is. Elijah was a prophet, a spokesperson of God, and mightily used by God, friends. We don't read anywhere in the scripture that Elijah went about with an attitude that he was an extraordinary person. Nowhere. If you find it, please come and tell me. And we will have a chat. We'll have a conversation, okay? Friends, the truth is, we are ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God. Isaiah declares it, friend, like this in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 and 26. Read it, because we need to read it in the context of the whole counsel of God's word, what God is saying. This is what Isaiah tells the people: to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. You know, I picked up this interesting piece that describes the awesomeness and greatness of our God. Listen to this. Everybody will identify with this, okay? You know, how many of us love babies? Yes, everybody's smiling or they're putting up their hands. You know, I remember December 21st, 2021. We were waiting for Ezra, our grandson, to be born. We marveled at the preciousness of God's creation as we saw Ezra, God's gift to us. You know, consider these facts, which is very interesting, friends. When a baby is conceived in the mother's womb, heartbeat is there by day 21. By week 7, organs are forming. Blood type is established. Eyes are forming. By week 8, hands and feet are visible. Baby moves around inside the amniotic sac. By week 20, fingernails and toenails are formed. Baby recognizes its mother's voice. Weeks 38 to 40, baby is considered full term and lungs are mature. 40 weeks, that's all it takes for the baby, God's gift, to come into our world. Is man responsible for this extraordinary creation? No, friends. But we are privileged to take part. The responsibility of caring for this miniature image of God rests on our shoulders. But we cannot claim the responsibility for his or her perfection. Each finger and toe in the right place, eyes and ears and nose, arms and legs. Even if everything is not as it should be. Children, listen to me very carefully, friends. All children are a blessing of our extraordinary God. They are here for us to love, even if some are only among us for a short time. How can you doubt the extraordinariness of such a God that Isaiah described and we are talking about? Let us never forget the simple truth, friends. God can take ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Thank you for saying the amen. But I'm going to go a little further. Okay? Some people enjoy their pew pulpit exercise. You know what I mean? You're good. You love God. You honor God. You're true to Him. You stand up for Him. But when you come into the church, you like your pews and you like the pulpit where the pastor, whoever it is, speaks to you. And after that, you go back home and rest of the week. You know you have an extraordinary God, but you don't allow Him to use you. As pastors, we would have told you several times, friends, that God wants to use you. Yes, you. You need to point to yourself as I speak to you. It's you God wants to use. And let me reiterate this truth again, friends. God can take ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things if only we let Him do so. Why are many not used by God? It's right here in this truth that I shared with you. Because we don't let Him do so. We don't allow Him to use us. The fact that God chooses us and uses us is amazing, friends. It is a privilege and honor to be used by God. We have to remove the mental blockage that God only uses the pastors. God only uses the care group leaders. By the way, let me tell you, you can become a care group leader. If you just be a part of the care group, you know, there are moments that God prepares you for this. God uses all of us. God's people must always have a spirit of humility in them. Even as we think about this extraordinary God looks upon the ordinary people like us and He says, my daughter, my son, I want to use you. I want to use you. All that it takes is a spirit of humility with which we accept His calling. Look at Elijah was a prophet of God who called down fire from heaven. Yet his feet were on the ground, friends. It did not get to his head. James reminds us like this in James chapter 4 verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Listen to this, friends. Lifting us up is God's part. Our part is to stay humble. So I invite you, as you look upon yourself, you have an extraordinary God. Every time you look at yourself, remind yourself you have an extraordinary God. We are ordinary people, but He wants to use us. Secondly, the second insight that I want to share with us is Elijah was a man of faith. As we read the life of Elijah, we cannot miss out that Elijah was a man of incredible faith. It takes a man of faith to call down fire from heaven so that God is glorified as the true living God. It takes a man of faith to shut heaven from sending rain, and at his word, Elijah's word, it rains to let people know that you cannot live a double standard life. Let us not forget that Elijah was a human like us, friends. But Elijah saw with eyes of faith what God was going to do. It is very interesting that Elijah made it very crystal clear that fire coming down from heaven was sent by God, not by Baal. You know that they were meeting on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal, and Ahab, the king that ruled, was there. And Elijah makes it very crystal clear that this fire that came down was from God, not by Baal. The devastating drought and famine was sent by God and not by Baal. You see, friends, as Elijah placed this challenge, incredible man of faith, Elijah risked his life for his faith. It's very important to understand that, friends. King Ahab was a wicked and powerful king. He could have killed Elijah. In fact, in verse 17, Ahab's verdict on Elijah is this, and that is, you are a troublemaker. You know, that's what he told Elijah after he met 3.5 years. You know, Elijah said, you know, there will be no rain. And Elijah, God sent him to be away. When he meets him after 3.5 years, Ahab looks at him and says, you are a troublemaker. And you know what is the consequences of troublemaker? King can kill them. But Elijah was fulfilling here his prophetic call, friends. You know the prophetic call of a prophet. And all that they had to do was they had to bring this message to the people. And he is bringing this message to the people. Thus said the Lord. He was bold and courageous to face wicked King Ahab and the prophets of Baal. I want us to understand, friends, faith must instill in us boldness and courage. I know that we are human beings. We are frail. At times we are weak. At times we are confronted with fear. And Elijah would have, because the people that, you know, are supposed to worship God, they are no longer worshiping God. They are in between. And here is a king and 400 prophets of Baal. But listen to this. Faith must instill in us boldness and courage, friends. Because when God is on your side, no need to fear anything or anyone. That is what Elijah is teaching us right here. Our God is the God who answers by fire, as well as the God who shuts heaven and opens heaven so that rain can come down. So that the Israelites that day, they learned that God is not only the God who controls the human affairs, friend, but also the realm of nature. That's why we call him the Almighty God, the powerful God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, friends. He created everything. And so he not only controls the affairs of human beings, but he also controls the realm of nature. Now, how many of us, when we saw the rain clouds in the sky and prayed, God, there's a special occasion, okay? Please, please keep this rain away. You saw the black clouds. I know Meena shared it straight after WM sale, right? The day previous to that, the weather was not good. And she shared a testimony. This is exactly, friends. Okay? You and I can speak to the realm of nature in faith and authority, and it obeys. I want us to pause and reflect on these words of Prophet Elijah. in verse 41. Listen to this. He says, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. 3.5 years, heaven was shut. No rain at the word of Elijah. But now Elijah says, tell Ahab the king, go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain. You see, friends, Elijah heard the rain before it came. Elijah heard the rain before it came. This is exactly the definition of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, friends, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You see, friends, faith is trusting God even when you don't see things happening. Don't get discouraged. Don't get upset. Because God is saying, I am teaching you about real faith. Real faith. That is trusting him even when you don't see things happening. But let me just look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. That is why he writes, we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, friends, Elijah knew God would come true for him because he knew God's promises and they are true and amen. And they are trustworthy, friends. And so faith invites us to know God's word and act upon it. That's why a few Sundays back, we spent an entire message on God's word, how to grow in God's word. It's not that we didn't have anything to do. We just gave the topic to no friends. If you just understand the different aspects of faith, this is where faith comes from as you root yourself in God's word. Here is the truth, friends. Don't forget this. God will stir your heart with faith before the supernatural happens. Before you see the outcome of your faith. And I believe personally that God has been stirring our faith life from the time that we have declared this by faith. God is stirring our faith. And he is telling us to believe that he has something special for us. The outcome of our faith is going to be something what God has planned and prepared for us. Now, I want us also to reflect on these words of prophet Elijah in verse 43. Look at it, friends. He says, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. 7 times Elijah said, go back. 7 times Elijah told the servant, go back. Friends, never forget this truth. Faith never quits. God has spoken it. It will happen. Because Elijah heard the sound of rain. God has spoken to him. It's going to rain, Elijah. Tell King Ahab. Tell the people. And he heard God. And when God speaks, friends, it will happen. I told you, Elijah's faith was incredible. He was not only going to give up. He said, I'm not going to quit. I want to hear how this, thing's going to play out. I'm going to hold on. But I want you to read the rest of the verses there from 46 to 40, 44 to 46, friends. How this ends. Listen to this. The 7th time the servant reported. And what does he report? A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose A heavy rain started falling and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Friends, I want you to know with deep confidence, faith in God will never disappoint you. It will never disappoint you. Our God is able to send fire down from heaven during Elijah's time. He is able to protect us when we face with fiery furnace, as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But most of the time, his presence and grace is with us, friends, as Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2. Listen to this promise from God. It says, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he formed you, Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Listen to this. When you pass through the waters, that is anything that is a challenging thing for you, you are frightened about, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Friends, somebody needed to hear this. Perhaps you are going through that this morning. And God is saying, I will not disappoint you because of your faith in me. Don't quit. Don't give up. For I am with you, whatever you are going through. Somebody needed to hear that. So friends, listen to this. Hold on to your faith. God is alive. He is with you. And he will not hurt you. He is alive. He is with you. And he will not hurt you, friends. Thirdly, as we come to the table of the Lord, just before we come, Elijah was a man of prayer, friends. Is there anybody here who would say that prayer is unimportant? I'm not even raising my hand to ask you because it will be thought as I'm saying it's unimportant, okay? I don't see any hands here that is raised. I believe prayer is absolutely important for a meaningful relationship with Jesus. I also believe the more we pray, the more our faith is strengthened. In fact, faith and prayer must go together, friends. You and I cannot do one without the other. Yes, it's good to have faith, but we cannot say, I don't want to pray. No. Faith and prayer must go together and you cannot do one without the other. James has much to say about prayer. In fact, he talks about prayer because he himself was a man of prayer. How do we know he talks about prayer here? But it's also said of his commitment to prayer. He used to spend so much of time kneeling down and praying. And this is what he was called as, you know. He was called as the old camel knees. You know why? It's because his knees were so hard, like the camels, because he committed himself for praying. And so James not only was a person of prayer, but now he introduces another person, and that is Elijah. And then he talks about Elijah's life of prayer and how powerful, how effective is the prayer life. Not that Elijah did not have problems, friends. No. Remember what I said? Elijah was a human being like us, ordinary person, human being like us. Not that he didn't have problems, perplexities, fears, doubts, and frustrations, friends. But in the midst of all that he went through, he prayed. And that is what made Elijah different, and that is what should be seen in our lives today. And I say this very carefully, friends. And I say it because it is the need, not only in our church, among followers of Christ around the world. And so I say to us, never take your prayer life lightly. We should never compare our prayer life with somebody else's prayer life. No, don't do that, friends. But we must consecrate ourselves to a life of prayer. God understands our spiritual dry season. Dare I ask you to raise your hand? Perhaps the entire congregation will raise their hand about dry seasons in our lives, including the pastors. And God understands the dry seasons. But you know, friends, but He does not want us to linger there, friends. He is the only one that can turn our spiritual dry season into a spiritual refreshing season. But we need to get back to the place of intimacy with Jesus. Listen to what James tells us. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, right through the Bible, as you turn it from cover to cover, you will come across the truth. The Bible emphasizes is God's people pray. God's people pray. The question I have for us is, are you one of God's people? If so, do you pray? Is it a shopping list prayer or a submission relationship prayer? As I was sitting there during the worship time, just reflecting upon this, because that's where I'm inviting us today to do. We heard about the word of God and faith, but I'm emphasizing today prayer and faith. Can we do better in our prayer life? Don't raise your hand. It's something that you can do today. Say, God, you know me. You know, Lord, the challenges, situations, difficulties that I face. But Lord, today, if I'm supposed to be God's people, I cannot but come and enjoy my time with you, Lord. God's people pray. Whether it was Elijah, Abraham, Moses, Nehemiah, or Jesus, they prayed. The book of Acts tells us that the disciples prayed and taught the early church to pray, friends. They prayed in the upper room. They prayed when they were warned not to preach the gospel. The apostle turned down a few of the responsibilities in Acts chapter 6 to stay committed to prayer, friends. They prayed to raise the dead. They prayed while falsely locked up in the prison. People of faith are also people of prayer. Elijah not only was a man of faith, but was also a man of prayer, friends. 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 41 says, "And Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain.'" After having said that, Elijah says he heard the sound of abundant rain, and yet he goes up to the mountain. What does he do there? He prays. He prays. In faith, he heard God, and he told Ahab, "It's going to rain." But he didn't give up. His faith was coupled with prayer, friends, as he sought the face of God. What a lesson for us today. We must see the connection between faith and prayer. Listen to me carefully, friends. Faith works best when we saturate it with prayer. You try it, friends. You see that. The theme for this year is what? by faith. We are believing and expecting great things from God. Amen. Just don't keep it as a theme. That is what faith that we are talking about. By faith means we are believing God and expecting great things from God. And listen to this, friends. God can only do great and mighty things if we call upon Him. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 3 says, God tells us, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Mark chapter 9, we find an account where Jesus healed a boy possessed by an evil spirit. Listen to Jesus as he answers the question raised by the disciples' friend. Look at Mark 9, verses 28 and 29. He says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. The power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Even from ordinary people like us, friends. You may not be a prophet Elijah, even if you are called as a prophet Elijah. Remember, he was an ordinary person. A human being. I believe as we strengthen our prayer life individually and corporately, we are at the threshold of experiencing something great. God wants us to believe that as we strengthen our prayer life. Friends, this is my invitation to all of us. Whatever we step out to do this year, let it be by faith, by prayer, by faith, and by prayer. If there's anything that we as a church should be known as, first of all, is that people there know how to love Jesus. They know how to connect with Him. People here know how to reach out to God. They are so strong in their intimacy with God. I want us to just take a moment and say, God, I come to you just the way I am. Prayer must be a part and parcel of my life. And I invite us, friends, to become strong in your prayer life. I don't know where you are. I don't know how regular it is, but God is bringing us back just like the people of Israel to repair that altar where we are saying, God, you are everything for us. Without you, I am nothing. And therefore, God, every day, help me not only to have faith, but help me, Lord, to strengthen my faith life by strengthening my prayer life.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @AGCKolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.